Hey, welcome to Little Monsters Movie Podcast.
Hey, group, don't touch that dial. We got a good one for you tonight.
Oh, we got a very good one, man. The Evil Dead, 1981, the original. What a horror movie. First of all, let me say, look at Ted's been working out, man. He's been benching.
He's always cold, I'm always hot. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm freezing, but he's... okay, but man, what... Evil Dead, man, horror movie. This is a
game changer.
Oh, this is great.
And
this
is always said, for the game changers, it's right, a game changer.
It is a game changer. And this is I think this is hardcore horror that, you know...
Yeah, this is gonzo filmmaking.
We've done Reanimator, which is right? Gore a little bit, I mean, different... But this is.
I think no Evil Dead, no Reanimator.
This is horror, man. This is all the way
and independent, all the way.
Yes,
this was a bunch of kids. You know, well, it's Sam Raimi. Okay, yep. We all know Sam Raimi.
Yeah,
he needs no introduction.
Yeah,
and
or probably Bruce Campbell. And Bruce Campbell as first. Ashley
J. Williams.
I hated when they called him Ashley in this movie.
That was originally a guy's name, like Ashley. Back in like, especially like in Civil War times, you know, Ashley. Down in the South, Ashley, Beverly.
No, yeah, those and were guys' I've names. I've heard some guys, you know, Ashley, mm-hmm. But yeah, Ash.
I don't think anybody would tease, you know, Ashley J. Simpson about his name.
No.
But, yeah, it's, you know, they grew up as friends, Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell. They grew up together as kids. They made little, you know, it's Sam's brother Ted.
Right.
They made little... homemade 8mm movies and started to develop their love for it there. And eventually.
A dream come true.
Yeah, eventually.
We're a little bit late in the game, but.
Yeah. We did our little movie once, but we'll get it up there one day.
Yeah, one day we'll get it up there.
It's kind of like the deleted scenes from Night of the Living Dead.
fun stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, then when they got a little bit more serious about maybe trying to make a horror movie, they shot a little short. Movie first, like a test pilot thing, you know, to show prospective people that might put money up, and basically they begged, borrowed, you know, got money
for this movie,
wherever they could. Sam Raimi, you know, anybody that was in the business or had connections in the business that could offer advice, he listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
He used that advice, and they just all got together for the love of making a movie. You know, they put ads out, got some, you know, actors. Very small crew, and wow. You know, scouted out some location out in the middle of the woods in Tennessee.
Found a cabin. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, mm-hmm. it's kind of simple, you know.
Yeah,
it's in the woods, small area, small location, right. On set, the whole movie,
right?
Cabin, you know.
It was a totally do-it-yourself. They didn't have equipment and things to, you know, do tracking grain shots and steady cams. You know, they did it all themselves. You know, whether it was. Mounting a camera on a bicycle or two guys holding it on sticks and running it through the woods. And
which is actually what really made this movie very cool, too.
Totally do it yourself. You can do it.
Coming up to the windows.
Wish I could.
Going through the houses, the way that camera effects were done were just awesome.
And they brought, like, you know, 85 big 10-gallon drums of K-Rose syrup with them for the blood. And, yeah, it was totally do-it-yourself. You know, afterwards they had to get, you know, distribution deals and everything like that. But it got some good word of mouth from people who saw it, especially, you know, the guy that ran the Cannes Film Festival. It wasn't in competition, but he did allow it to be seen. I believe Stephen King, you know, was a big outspoken proponent of it when he saw it, and that's what really helped get it distributed. It took like 2 years. Like, it was made in 81, but it took them a long time to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But, when they did finally get a distribution deal through New Line, they really promoted the heck out of it. And there was already, you know, it had been talked about in Fangoria and all the horror magazines. Well, Fangoria was pretty much the only horror magazine back then.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody kind of knew about it. And so when it finally came out, you know, there was buzz about it already when it came out. So,
awesome movie, man.
Maybe not the most box office hit or biggest, highest grossing film, although it did make way more than its budget, which was, you know, just hundreds of thousands of dollars, I think. And, you know, time has been kind to it, and it's taken its place among the pantheon of great horror movies. Yes. It wasn't in my top 10 that we did last week,
but
it is one
two,
that I really like and love. After the first Evil Dead, I feel like it gets more into the comedy and Army of Darkness.
I mean, one kind of... can blend right into number two, I think, kind of.
Well, number two, they couldn't they didn't have, when they made it, they didn't have the rights to the first one. So they couldn't use any of the scenes from the first one. So that's why the beginning of the second one is kind of like the first one. Right. Like maybe the first 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Because they basically just kind of like did a remake of it. And
right.
Because they didn't own the rights to use any scenes to kind of flesh out what happened.
Yeah.
But after two, they get kind of silly.
Yeah.
And, you know, the TV show seems like it's going to be in that same vein. And that's what people like. And
yeah. Kind of Bruce like Campbell a shines comic horror type
thing. Right. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But this first movie is just... You know, there's some parts that are funny, but it's like black humor. And
oh, this is this is total horror. I mean, this this is up there with the girl as she becomes possessed, and we'll talk about it. The underneath the floor and the chains.
Yeah,
I mean, that scene I don't think I'll ever get out of my head.
Creepy.
I mean, creepy.
I mean, as the movies
when
went on,
when she's talking and going, which we'll talk about. Yeah. I mean, it's just
The effects were a little bit more professional in the other ones, but. I just I take into consideration this first one, awesome makeup effects.
Yeah.
And those were done by a guy named Tom Sullivan, who we've met at
Cinema Wasteland,
thank you, a bi-yearly horror movie convention here in Northeast Ohio. And he's a frequent guest, if not he's always there. He even gets his own room. And it was so cool because there's... I think you maybe spoke to him a little bit more than I did, but all kinds of original drawings and props, you know, the actual Necronomicon, Ash's name badge from, I think, Army of Darkness, S-Smart badge.
Very cool, man.
Yeah, cool stuff. He sits there at a desk and just doodles, and he'll talk to you and answer your questions, and he's answered a million times.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it is anywhere else, but here in Cleveland, I mean, you were able to actually, there's not a million people there.
Right.
Even though it's a big crowd.
Yeah, it's a room. There's plenty. You can walk in, look at things. Can't touch. Right. But you can buy copies of his artwork. And yeah, it's like all under glass locked cases.
Yeah.
But you can see all these cool props and things that they used in the films and original sketches and drawings.
Would love to have.
Very cool guy. You know, very gracious answering questions.
Yeah.
So, and those effects, just do it yourself, you know. And again, just, you know, there's even some cool stop motion in the movie. And
oh, yeah.
So the film itself starts off with the classic 73 Oldsmobile Delta 88.
I love how they got that, you know, how it, throughout the whole movie where it's like creeping, the spirits, demons, the ancient Sumerians. They talk about that. We'll get to it.
Right.
When they go, which is kind of strange. He put some of that into this movie, but...
Now you know this car. You know this car is in every one of Sam Raimi's movies.
Is it really?
Yeah. That's why I said this was specifically the car. Even Quick and the Dead, which was a Western. I guess it was hidden. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Oz the Great and the Powerful. I'm going to assume it was hidden in there somewhere. But I just wanted to do that little shout out. Most Evil Dead fans know that this and Sam Raimi, this exact car is in all his movies.
Wow.
Even in the remake of Evil Dead, it's in the movie.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I love that scene where they're just driving down the street.
Like he's drinking out of a mason jar. I don't know what he's drinking. We get introduced to the characters. It's Scotty driving, his girlfriend...
Cheryl.
Shelly.
There's a girl named Cheryl. By herself.
Yeah, she's the solo girl.
It's Ash and Linda who are together.
Right. And I like when he's... you know, he's like, you know, they're coming down and a truck's coming at them and, you know, something happens with the car, like, early on in the movie, like, it just starts swerving towards the car. And he's telling, you know, your car doesn't work.
He's blaming the car that something's wrong with it.
I just had it tuned up.
Yeah, Ash is back there saying, I got it fixed. Everything's good on it.
In other words, the only thing that works on this car is the horn. And he beeps it. And then there's just a couple old coots waving. And he's just looking there, you assholes, I'm not waving at you. And I love Scotty would be me if I was Mr. I'd just be that annoying prick.
Oh my God. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
He was an a-hole in this thing.
That would
man.
Be me if I was out in these
Oh
woods.
My God.
I think that would end up being me. Turn off the road. They find the turnoff. And it's not even a road, really. I mean, I guess it's kind of a road, but it's cool how they...
I love the long drive to the house, how it's very, very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's just silent. It just sets the whole tone to
the
rest of the movie.
They're dragging sticks behind them as they're driving.
But it's very quiet, and you start hearing a boom, boom, thump, thump. And what you'll find out is the swing hitting the house as the car pulls up.
Right.
And
Really any wind, but
the, no, it's but quiet the, and mm-hmm. very, very well done. I love it. And the only thing that stops it is where they do get out. Well, first of all, they're like, "Oh, this is where we're
going
to stay."
Yeah, because they're asking. They've never seen this cabin that they're going to. They've rented from some guy. You know, he said it's a little run down, needs work, but you know, you can have it for the weekend for whatever.
And it looks very tiny on the outside, but.
On the inside looks a little bigger. It's like a TARDIS.
It almost looks like a different house once the movie starts going. We'll have to look at that a little bit more closely.
Yeah, the house is an entity of its own.
Because it's a tiny little shack.
Mm-hmm.
But once the movie starts going on, it's bigger. We'll take a look at that. But anyways,
maybe.
And it is bigger inside than it looks, too. I mean, it is,
right.
You know.
Yeah, we can't see how far back it goes.
Right, right. But anyways, I mean.
But this was a real standing cabin that they found, derelict cabin. Might have had a little electricity. I think it didn't have any plumbing at all. So, I mean, and you got to think, you know, it was cold when they did this movie. This is the fall, and it's cold, and there's not any plumbing, and you pretty much live in here. This is pretty much where they're living while they're making
probably
a movie.
Got trailers sitting out there. And
You know, this
gotta have something.
Yeah,
unless there's a hotel motel somewhere.
No,
close
I think
by.
They. From what I read, and I did read Bruce Campbell's book, is you know, Chins Could Kill, ages ago when it first came out. So I don't remember at all. Mm-hmm. You know, but I know this was a brutal shoot. You know, and this was, you know, they did it because they loved it, and you know, nobody was getting paid really. I mean, you know, this was just, hey, let's go make a movie. And, you know, that's how it was. So, you know, because Sam Raimi had to pay back all the people that invested money, you know. It's like, you know, you owe these people. They give you the money. It's not a gift most of the time. Some people you have to pay back.
Yeah, they got lucky.
Yeah, yeah. And there you go. They got their start.
Yep. But Scotty gets out, comes to the front door.
Gets the keys from
once
the top.
Once he gets the keys is when that thumping stops. The splinter stops. And, so he opens the door, goes in, they're looking all around. It doesn't look too bad of a cabin.
You go in the back room and there's some kind of animal bones hanging from the ceiling and stuff like that. And, you know, hey, whatever, chicken bones.
Well, there's a back cabin. Isn't that an outside
cabin? It's like a back room of some sort, a tool shed kind of thing.
Which comes into play bigger in the second one.
But, we get some of it in this one, too.
Right.
We get a little bit. Yeah. Get a little shout-out. There's all kinds of rusty tools, rusty chains, all that jazz. And, you know, they're
good old horse,
unpacking the car and the good old Oldsmobile. And they're going to, you know, spend the weekend at the cabin, you know, let's have fun. And
I do like how once they do all get settled in and she's everything's back. The effects of this movie, like cameras, always looking out the windows, in the windows, out the windows. But she does, who is it, Cheryl? Yeah.
Yeah, she's the one that's solo. We have to remember that.
She's by the window drawing.
Mm-hmm. Got her little sketch pad.
Drawing the clock.
Right. And there's a cool scene, you know, like the clock. You see, like, from the inside of the clock with the pendulum going back and forth. And that's another thing we got to say about this movie. A lot of cool angles.
Right.
You know, you can tell he watched a lot of noir and Hitchcock and, you know, maybe other horror movies.
Some of my favorites, too.
And, you know, I'll mention it later on because there's a couple of scenes where they really come to play, especially towards the end. Mm. You know, the tilted angles and things like that to give it a disorienting look and to put the viewer off balance, too. That's the purpose of that, especially in the noir and psychological thriller movies, you know, to make it a little odd. You know, Hitchcock, Orson Welles kind of stuff.
I love noir films, man.
I know. We should do some sometime, just like, you know, just for the heck of it.
There's some,
you know,
borderline horror noir. Yeah, so. But what happens? She starts freaking out, from the demons coming up to the cabin.
Is that when we first hear the "Join Us"?
I think so. Yeah, and she pulls
lazily.
She turns the page and starts. It makes her just start scribbling.
Join us. You could talk, and I'll just do that.
The sounds,
the
voices in this film is—it's all scary, man. I swear to God, if you're in a dark room at night watching this, you'd be scared to death. But she starts scribbling. What is it? The Book of
the
Dead.
Looks like a book. We haven't come across it yet.
Yeah,
it's a premonition of it.
And at the same time,
and it's like she's, you know, ripping the paper while she's drawing.
Yeah, the door that leads to the basement, it just opens and shuts real quick.
Right.
And love that. And then they switch really quick to a scene where they're pouring and mixing a red drink, like it's blood or something, like in a mixer. Yeah, you know, just
having dinner.
Quick scene change, you know what I mean? And they're, having dinner. And Scott's kind
of... That was really supposed to be the name of the movie, Book of the Dead. The whole time they were making it, it was going to be called Book of the Dead. And someone gave them the idea that it wasn't so good, it sounds boring. And Evil Dead was probably, you know, the next best thing they could come up with. So.
And thank God. I mean, it is a better title, I would think. Well, although Book of the Dead, who knows what it would have turned into.
Well, later on, there would be a Necronomicon Book of the Dead movie from the guy that made Reanimator. Yeah. So, with Jeffrey Combs. Which is like an anthology movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're sitting around having their dinner. You know, Ash makes his toast, something in Greek. Which evidently means party down.
Yeah.
And while they're all having dinner, the cellar door just flies open.
Oh.
And that's enough to startle you right there.
Oh, yeah.
And I love how they're all just standing around it, looking down. What did it? And she says, maybe it was an animal. And I love Scotty again. An animal! That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. Jesus Christ.
I love when
then,
he says
but
that.
But then he probably like, yeah, it probably was an animal.
I mean, he's like thinking she's just a total idiot. How could an animal push that thing up? And then he goes, yeah, probably an animal.
Jesus Christ.
But they
but like they go to each one's face and they all have like something to say, kind of reminding me of the Goonies, you know, like you know,
right?
Maybe
it's
Satellites, maybe it's Chug. So Scotty's got the one flashlight they brought, and he's gonna go down there and check it out. Probably the last guy you should send down there,
because
he's gonna screw something up. He's gonna play a little joke, hijinks, what have you. And that's exactly what he does. He goes down there, they wait a few minutes, and it's awful. It's dead quiet.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're calling for him too. That's another thing. And a lot of things happen in this cabin, which is very tiny, and they don't hear none of it. When they're in the next room, I mean, I'm not ripping the movie because I love it.
Right.
But. You know, hey, when she's up front screaming, when something...
When there's a hole, we're going to poke it. We're going to show
her. Yeah, when they're hollering... And they're, I love the scene, too, where the camera must be pointing up, and they're all looking down at the cellar. You see all their heads poking around.
Yeah.
You know, very cool. I love that, too.
Absolutely.
But they're hollering down there, and they're saying, Scott, Scotty, and he's not answering. And you know what? It's got to be like 15 feet away, technically.
Right.
And he's not answering them. What a jerk.
Yes, he's been a jerk. Because then when Ash goes down there, Scotty kind of jumps out at him and scares him.
But Ash, he don't answer, so he gets a lantern.
Right, right.
And it's got like a little flicker, man. He had to turn that up a little bit more, man, for some more light. But
gives him this big light when you go down there.
Yeah, and he goes down there and
travels. But you love that in movies when they light candles. It like totally illuminates the room.
All the old black and white.
Dark
movie.
I mean, dark room. Light a candle. You still can't see crap.
I love that. You know? They did that all the time in the old black and white.
I mean, they light a candle. Boom. It's like trying to turn on a light.
Yeah. There, that's good enough.
They made candles.
We light a candle. We can't see nothing.
Yeah, I mean, can't see 2 inches. Catching crap on fire.
Oh my god.
You better light a torch. So he sneaks down the stairs, you know, quietly. And
I love the scene at the bottom where they go from left to right and pan all the way back around to him. And it's just
to give you a little view of the creepy dungeony basement. Kind of like the basement you had at your old house, man.
Oh my god.
There was like 17 little rooms.
Yes, it was actually really cool. And that's where we did our little zombie thing down there, which perfect. One day we'll put up. But anyway.
Wasn't there a room that just like had a chair? You know, just like an old wooden chair and there was stains on it.
Yeah, and it had like a bar up to where you think somebody would be... It looked like it's a dungeon, man.
Some stuff might have went down.
Yeah, I don't know what... You know, it's got the brickwork and mortar and all that. Yeah, it was pretty scary, but...
Good, cool basement for making horror movies.
Yeah, scary to go down at night when the lights go out.
Daddy, I had long legs.
I had to do that once.
What's
all
that?
The lights went out, man. I had to go down there and change a fuse because they had the little twisting fuses. And it was way in the back. And pretty scary, man.
No, not me.
Scotty. He sees the door across the way.
Right, there's a little door. I love how there's like a gourd. Hanging by the door. And he sneaks in. Scotty startles him. And yeah, there's some cool stuff down there. There's a big The Hills Have Eyes poster from old one, the old movie.
That's right. I didn't even, I don't think I noticed
that. Yeah, Hills Have Eyes poster.
You miss something sometimes.
There's a big tape, reel-to-reel tape recorder, a shotgun.
A book and with some cool stuff in it.
A book that looks kind of weird. Oh, weird, yeah. Demon-y kind of things written in it.
Looks like skin and
little
flesh.
Face on the, you know.
You know, yeah, really, and, really cool.
You know, you got to, and if you remember that book, you got to remember, you know, well, first off, this movie, all the Evil Dead movies, Army of Darkness, Evil Dead 2, have had about 85 different video releases each. Evil Dead is probably, I mean, I can't count. They've had so many different releases, not just with a different cover. But one of the coolest ones was the Book of the Dead version. They did that for, they may have done it for all three.
Okay.
But it came in like a polyurethane kind of Book of the Dead replica of it. And you open it up and the DVD was inside. Okay. I didn't have it because, you know, and from what I understand, they just fall apart as the years go by unless you really preserve it well. But, you know, just, you know, back when like DVD first came out, you know, you always had like those cool, you know, little limited editions here and there. We don't really get much in the way of that anymore. There's some, but nothing cool like that. But yeah, it was a cool book. And these are the pages that you could see on display when you went to go see Tom Sullivan at the convention. Pages like this that were displayed. So,
Ash is looking through the pages and he's noticing stuff.
Clearly interested.
Yeah, and that last page, it shows the Book of the Dead and all this red blood coming off of whatever.
So they take it all, you know, the shotgun.
Take it all upstairs.
They take everything upstairs. Lightning starting to flash, stormy night coming up.
Of course.
Full moon.
Yeah.
and they want to play the tape.
Play the tape. The reel to reel.
And
some guy just starts talking.
Professor.
Yeah.
Professor.
That he's been doing research on some ancient ruins, ancient Sumerians, the Kandar, which we come to know as the Kandar demons.
Oh, let's not forget the cool knife they found down there too.
Yeah, with the skull on the end,
the skull bony kind of handle on it,
about 18 inches, very pointy and skinny. Yeah, like daggerish, but very
good for like shish kebabs.
Grill. But yeah, so this guy just keeps talking, and he starts explaining about the demons and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, demons, and Cheryl, I believe, gets a little freaked out. I mean, all the girls are a little freaked out.
Right.
But she just reaches over and snaps it right off. She's already had a little bit of a spooky experience, so she's not real keen.
And they know that it said, do not say the incantations or something
Like
that.
Or that's how it happens, you know, by reciting the incantations. Yeah. And so when they...
Scotty fast forwards
Jesus Christ! And he puts it back on.
And he fast forwards to the incantations.
Incantations.
And they're letting it roll.
Oh, and he's doing his little...
Yeah,
he's a jackass.
Letting it roll, you know.
So, Cheryl's gonna end up getting up and kind of storming off, and when those incantations get said out loud, even though it's on a tape, we start seeing the mist coming out of the
leaves and ground, and
just really cool, really cool. And then a lightning bolt and a tree just kind of comes through the window, startles the heck out of everybody.
Yeah.
A lot of windows get broke.
Well, this is where you start seeing, you know, the demons and
stuff,
spirits,
the ground
or whatever
is lifting up, mist coming out. You see the redness underneath, like it's the bowels of hell coming up through there.
And this is where you get a lot of imagery and of them coming to the windows, to the cabin, trying to get in, making their way.
Yeah, when that starts happening, that is really cool. And that's a cool effect, you know, handmade. And that's like a trademark of the Evil Dead movies, at least the first two, that, you know, you can't see it, that, you know, but you can, from its perspective.
Yeah, it's just like bringing a camera straight through.
That is so
cool. Very cool effect.
Yeah, it was creative. You know, you don't have the money or the ability to show the demons, so let's do it this way. And that's a creative way of doing it. You know, you didn't have money, and they still found a neat way to do it that was also unsettling, you know, once you mix in the sound effects and music and stuff like that. So, you know,
very
it took
cool.
some intelligence and some creativity to do that. And I give them a lot of credit for that. You know, they haven't really been attacked by them yet. This hasn't happened.
Yeah.
You know, they got a little freaked out by the window. They're going to kind of start calling it a night, I think.
Yeah. Cheryl's resting in her room. And
right. She's had a little bit of a freak out.
Yeah. Linda and Ash are on the couch.
Right. And Shelly and Scott.
Probably doing it in a room.
Well, they're in the room. Anyway.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is the classic scene where the little monocle, you know, I think it's in both movies.
Right.
Where he gives his girlfriend a gift. And, you know, he plays, you know, plays a little bit to give it to her, but evidently yeah. she really likes it.
I do like how they keep, he's looking out a corner of his eyes, yeah. she's looking out a corner of his eyes, he closes, she closes, he
just
opens
just to make
up.
It a little
sweet. You know, I mean, yeah.
To kind of establish kind of, that they're in love.
Right, cool scene.
Because it ain't going to end well. I love that Ash is wearing corduroys.
Ash is, Bruce Campbell is very cool in this movie. It's very,
he is.
Even though his acting's got a little bit better, it was even good in this, but yeah, you could tell this was one of his first forays
this
into
is.
The acting.
I mean, apart
yeah.
from the movies that they made for fun, you know, right. for the family and friends yeah. and stuff. But it's the movie that made him what he is. And you know, I've never got a chance to meet him or to be anywhere where he was speaking, but, you know, by all...
You didn't eat with him?
No, we never played golf or had dinner or anything like that. Schedules conflicted.
thought you played darts with him.
Almost.
Soccer?
Almost. No. Okay. No, I never got to meet the guy. Never got to meet the guy.
I could have sworn.
Yeah, darts. We got we've penciled it in for 2018. We're going to play darts.
Ah, that's right.
But yeah, I mean, he's had a very long career and you know, it's kind of like cool that it's coming back to Evil Dead
yeah.
in a way.
Can't wait till the stars come out,
you know,
Ash versus the Evil
You know,
Dead.
I'm not as huge of a fan as the funny stuff, but the trailer I did see, you know, it does look fun and I'm going to watch it. And who knows, maybe it'll even make me appreciate the others more, but I mean, I don't hate them. I'm not hating on them at all. Just the first one is king, you know. Whatever, I don't care.
Right. Yeah.
There are those that think it's better with two and whatever, but no, you can't. Ugh. Once you know about the love and everything that went into the first one, it's got to be the first one.
Yeah, it's just a great horror movie.
And, you know, he's had a great career. I mean, you know, he's not all his movies, Bruce's movies were great. He's always like the best thing in it, though.
Right.
I find him immensely watchable and likable.
Yes.
Yeah, I even used to watch him in Hercules and Xena and Briscoe County.
Yeah.
And Jack of All Trades. I've watched Burn Notice only because he was in it. I didn't watch all of Burn Notice, but I would watch it when I would see him on it.
Okay.
You know, stuff like that. So
you watched a lot of...
I watch a lot of Bruce Campbell. But I still think his best movie is Bubba Hotep.
Yeah. Oh,
which
yeah.
is a movie we got to do for you guys.
Bubba Hotep.
It's
if you haven't seen it, yeah, a great movie.
I got to import it. I think there's a Blu-ray, but I got to import it. I saw that at the theater, and it was so great. And you know, just him playing Elvis. And what I liked a lot is, I don't know if you have the DVD of it.
No.
But if you can get the DVD, like the original DVD, there was a commentary by Bruce Campbell as Elvis.
Okay.
So it was like he was still the same character watching the movie, talking about the movie as Elvis.
Very
what kind
cool.
of picture is this? You know?
That's cool.
And I don't watch a lot of commentaries. I think I've watched three in my whole life, and that was one of them. So
wow.
So back to the flip, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, where were we?
Well,
they've all kind of paired off.
Yeah.
And then Cheryl, she hears some noise outside.
Yeah, this is where it comes up to the window.
Join us.
Yeah. Oh, and next thing...
The smartest thing to do in that situation is to go outside and find out who it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing I would do.
I know you're out here.
Yeah, where are
you? Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what I would do. Creepy, misty, stormy night. I'm going out there and I'm going to find out who it is.
But this is the great... scene in the movie where, well, first of all, when she screams, I cannot believe, like I said, that they don't hear her.
Yeah, there's a couple of scenes that in here, but
you know, they should hear her. I mean, come on, hey, what's wrong with Cheryl?
Right.
Come on, let's go.
Right.
But this is the classic scene where the branches and
the
trees
tree
come to
scene.
Life, and yeah, the tree rape scene, and comes up, grabs her ankles.
It's a real neat effect too.
It
they're
is.
All wrapping around her legs and arms, and I'm
pushing her arms away.
I shouldn't say I love because this is a horrible thing that's happening. To
right.
Her. But. It's just,
for horror fans,
you know, it's just, it adds to the tension when, you know, she's struggling to keep, you know, her legs together and the branches are pulling them apart, and it's just it's very intense and I don't know what I'm gonna say, but it's uncomfortable.
Right,
it's an uncomfortable
right.
scene, and
exactly.
then just that big branch.
Yep.
Terrible.
Very, very cruel scene.
Yeah.
Not good. But it actually tries to enter, and that's where I think she gets the strength somehow, and she pulls him off and stuff. And this is what's strange too. She starts running. I don't know if she's running away from the cabin or to it, because if she's running to it, I don't know how the heck she got that far away from it. Because she was so far away from that cabin. I'm like going, when did this happen?
Right.
But she runs, you know, she's running. She's all scarred. I do like when the branches, they tear that white robe off. I mean, like we said, this is disturbing, you know.
We get the one booby shot in this part.
Yeah, very tiny. You know, there's not too much. Yeah, I mean, there's not, you know. There's not a lot of blood either. I mean, there's some...
Not in this scene, no.
There's some bad scenes, which we'll get to, especially when, you know, but we'll find
out. They saved the Cairo syrup for the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's running away, and you get that point of view picture of the evilness chasing her.
Yeah.
That, she gets the door in. I love she's banging on the door for nobody half hears an hour, and nobody hears anything.
Nobody hears her.
She gets the keys, and right when she's about to, you know, she's jiggling it. And
they open the door.
Yeah, she opens the door and brings her in, and for some reason, you know, that creates the evil withdraws.
Yeah, which I've always been curious about. It's not withdraw.
Maybe it hasn't...
maybe built up enough
strength. It's just been awoken, right? It hasn't built up enough strength
yet. It's groggy.
It's going to, you know, she's going to be the first of its minions, and then they end up spreading it. Yeah. Because it's kind of like if you get bit, scratched, gouged.
Yeah.
If their blood gets on you, your mouth, I mean, you're going to turn. You're going to turn to one of these deadites.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
As they're called. Not in this movie, but as it goes on.
Well, in this too, yeah. I mean, once they all, you know, die and stuff like that, they totally... You know, enter the body and, you know... Mm-hmm.
Take over, take possession.
And, yeah.
And not just take possession of their body. I mean, it almost... They become like a different entity. They're all scarred and ick. We haven't gotten to that yet.
Right, yeah.
So, Cheryl wants to... She's like, I want to leave.
She just wants out of here.
For someone who just got assaulted by a tree, she's doing remarkably well.
Right.
But she does... For some reason, she wants to go.
Think she even... Oh, no, she did bring that up. She said it. They just didn't
believe her. The trees are alive.
The trees are alive. Yeah.
And, you know, it's not going... The house, they're not... Ash is going to take her.
Right.
He decides that he's going to take her, and he's trying to start the car, and the car won't start. And she even starts freaking out and says, that they're not going to let us leave. The house won't let us leave.
Immediately starts, the car starts.
Right.
Like the demon said, okay, we'll let you go, but you're not going to get far.
Not going to get far, because remember that rickety old bridge, if you've seen this movie, they go over... Yep. Where they say, ah, this bridge has been here for 100 years, as strong as ever. And then the tire got sunk in.
Yep.
And they drove by, well, bridge is gone.
Yep, gone.
Gone.
No more bridge.
I mean, completely, like, you know, the metal beams are curled up. And there's no, unless there's another way that they're not going to find in the dark. But, you know, that's it. Man. They are trapped. And that's it. Exactly it. You know, this forest, this house, whatever you want to call it, won't let them leave.
No.
You know what else that was interesting?
Huh.
Totally off the subject here of the movie here, but it kind of reminded me when I was doing a little reading on the movie, and there's lots of information out there about Evil Dead. But I didn't know that in Europe, this movie was called The House, and there was a few unofficial sequels to it, kind of like how in Europe, like especially in Italy... Dawn of the Dead, the original Dawn of the Dead, was called Zombie. And then there was, like, Zombie 2, Zombie 3, unofficial sequels to Dawn of the Dead. And there are unofficial sequels to... It's called, like, La Casa. You know, right?
Okay.
And so there's, like, Italian unofficial sequels to Evil Dead that I've never heard of. So...
Really?
Yeah. So there's...
I wonder, can we get our hands on them?
Probably. I think one of them's got Linda Blair in it. So...
No way.
Yeah, so they might be out there. I don't know if they're worth checking out. My gut tells me no, but I would give at least
one of them a try. That they're out there, I'd hit the...
So it would be like skewing off in a different direction, because it's not, you know, Evil Dead 2 and Army Dark. It skews off from the first Evil Dead.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw that out there.
Interesting fact.
For people that didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay, well...
So, they have to all go back. You know, they have to go back. The bridge is out.
Yep.
They're not going to be able to find any way out of here until the morning, at the very least.
Mm.
So, they get back there. Ash is...
They're doing some ESP stuff with the cards.
Yeah, and she's totally blown.
It's a check of nines, an eight of Clark. And she's saying, yeah, that's right.
Right, and it's totally
and
wrong.
It's not. You know?
Linda, Ash's girlfriend, she thinks she's got ESP. Shelly's telling me, oh, that's right, that's a card. She's not even showing her the card. And I like that, you know, Ash, he's got a headphone in.
Yeah.
And he's still listening to the tape, you know.
He's still investigating.
Right.
He doesn't like what's going on.
Yeah, there's stuff going on here. Scotty, whatever, you know. And, I like when she says, you know, oh, I think it's ESP or something. And, you know, Ash, eh. He's like, yeah, truly amazing.
He doesn't care. He's just...
But then, yeah, while they're going through the cards, like you were just about to say, Shelly is sitting by the window, and she starts reciting the cards out. A little bit of a different voice.
Looking out the window.
Looking out the window and getting all the cards right.
Yes.
And when
and this is where she...
Turns, man, the Deadite. She becomes a Deadite. Flips around, and yeah, her face is all...
It's a very cool scene, too, because she's by the window, but you can tell they got something attached to her body.
To raise her up
a little. To raise her up and turn her a little bit. Very cool, very cool.
And we come up to one of our first really cool gore scenes when, you know, she falls on the ground, you know... Because she starts spouting out some stuff, you know, you're going to join
looks
us.
Looks like... Okay, yeah. Okay, I was going to say something else, but yeah.
And then she's on the ground.
Yeah.
And
Cheryl.
Ash goes to, I think, check her out. And Linda's standing there, too.
Oh, no, yeah, Linda.
And I'm getting these,
okay.
And Shelly picks up Cheryl. I'm going to get these names all messed up. Picks up, there's a couple of pencils laying on the ground. I love she picks up that pencil and just drives it right into Linda's ankle.
Yeah.
And it just, not just stab, but, like, pulls the knee
off. Oh, yeah, they don't take the camera off of the scene. They keep it on that foot. And you could see it all, you know, moving around in the flesh and how it's like hollowed
up.
Even though you could tell it's not real, it's very gory and very...
Yeah, and plus with all the noise and the chaos and the screams,
Everything comes perfectly in this movie to make it that great horror.
Yeah, they put it together really well. Ash gets knocked out, and I love, you know, because... Sam Raimi is pretty notorious, especially in these first Evil Dead movies, of just beating the hell out of Bruce Campbell. He takes a beating.
Towards the end of this,
it's merciless.
It's just and that's where it flows into the second one,
right? Because he gets knocked into a wooden bookcase. It falls, and it's real. This is real lumber.
Yeah,
falling on top of him, and I mean the expressions are pretty authentic. I don't think you could act those out. That was real pain, I think.
Yeah, he was hurting, man.
And Scotty ends up being able to get Cheryl into the cellar. The door's open, gets her in there, and he's taking the axe handle, and you can tell it's a maquette kind of dummy.
Right.
He's beating her in the head with
pushing it down in, like jamming it down in,
and takes a chain and there's little hooks,
and stuff. Yeah,
chains the door shut,
which comes to be part of the coolest part of the movie.
Right. It carries over to the second one, the remake.
Well, and it's
the classic scene.
Yeah, I mean, they do get him locked in there, and then they put Linda to bed to rest because she had that pencil
stab
in
her
foot. And doesn't Scotty and Cheryl come out? They're sitting in the living room again.
Scotty and Shelly are sitting in the living room by the fire.
Cheryl's the one that's
in the cellar.
Turned already. Okay.
Yeah. And, just the head coming up.
Oh,
and
that panorama. It's like the camera's looking out
from her perspective.
Inches, yeah, 4 inches of putting that thing up with the chain there and everything. Mm-hmm. And her voice taunting them the whole time. Almost Exorcist, kind of.
Yeah,
you know, even the makeup styling kind of seems that way a little bit. Their face and stuff like that.
Well, prior to this time, that was the most intense horror movie that there had been.
Right.
You had that, and then you got introduced to Halloween, and, plus all the European horror movies that,
were coming
people
out
got
at the
to
time,
see.
Yeah.
And these guys were in art college, they were in college, and, for filmmaking, stuff like that. And so they probably would have been exposed to some of these other films and things like that, so.
Yeah. But love that scene.
But she's taunting, Cheryl's taunting them, And Scotty's trying to reassure his lady that everything's going to be all right.
Yeah, after everything that went down,
nothing's going to be
not
all right
be,
ever again.
I'm not even sure if I wouldn't be just like running the heck away from wherever I
can. I don't know if I'd want to go outside in that dark. See, that's the thing,
Yeah, because
later on, Scotty wants to just go and run for it. But, look what happened to Cheryl when she went outside.
Yeah.
But the same thing is, you stay here in the house and, you're a goner too.
Yeah, it's
because you got one of these, doohickeys in the cellar.
Yeah, it's a scary place to be. I mean, that's for sure, man. But
So,
what happens next?
Well, they were in the because next is going to be Shelly.
Shelly. Yeah.
Trying
to remember all these names.
I know,
even though there's five of them. I mean, yeah, it's.
I think just those two names are so close.
Shelly and Cheryl. Yeah.
We know, but she was in the bedroom. and changing whatever, and we see the point of view of the, you know, the
come into the window again, demon, whatever, outside of the cabin.
Come into the window, busts through the window, and they hear her scream, and so, you know, they start looking for her.
Well, doesn't Ash say, you better go check on your girlfriend?
Yeah, go check on your girlfriend.
Meanwhile, Ash, he stays out there.
He's just going to sit.
Yeah, he's just out there on the couch, which I would think is just a few feet away by the size of this cabin.
Right.
But like I said, it's bigger inside this cabin than you think.
Screw
but,
Scotty, you know?
But, I mean, yeah, he walks in there. And
room to room. She's not in the closet. He's looking in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Grody-looking bathroom.
Yeah, the walls are just, like, yellow papers, whatever's put up on the wall.
Yeah, it looks like it's just, like, plastic. Like, maybe there's no walls. Like, maybe it's just,
I think it was maybe so run down that they just put whatever they could up there to make it look at least
looks like construction paper.
Decent or something, yeah.
And then he opens a shower. She's not there, but when he turns around, there she is.
And then she,
takes her nails and, like, scratches down his face
and starts oozing blood.
And a lot of the times, you know, even though it's fake, whatever, they get so close. You know?
Yeah, it's just
just feel it.
It's the way that it's shown, mm-hmm. which makes it scary.
And she's all on his back, and he comes in there, you know, Ash. And he ends up, like, knocking her, and her head goes in the fire.
Yeah.
And, you know, Let me pull her out.
Yeah.
You wouldn't let
her burn. Oh, yeah. What she starts saying.
Oh, thank you for pulling me out of the fire.
The pain was whatever she was saying.
You know,
she
crisping her flesh or whatever. Yeah. And, you know,
she starts jumping up again.
Yeah. She's like, you know, you have such nice flesh.
Meanwhile, the great scene of the Cheryl in the basement.
Yeah, she's just going BS crazy. You
blood's
know?
Coming out of her mouth and draining down. Oh, it's just a sick
scene. This is so much better, I think, than in Evil Dead 2. Because in Evil Dead 2, mm-hmm. it was like the wife of that professor, you know, that was their cabin. And she was the one, yeah. you know, doing that. And it was some old lady. You know, this is...
Right.
I don't know. I take this one a little bit more to heart, you know, because it was one of their friends, and right. she's acting like this.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're all fighting, she gets hold of that
dagger,
that big dagger with the skull on it that they found, and she's going to try to drive that into him. But the whole time, Scotty has a big like Bowie knife in his belt behind her.
Scotty pulls takes it that out,
and I love it. He starts cutting her hand off.
He just starts cutting it, yeah.
And then you know, blood going everywhere. And then I love how she lets him go, but then just hardcore.
Oh.
She takes her hand and starts biting the rest of her hand
she
off.
She chews it, yeah, off.
I mean, what are you going to do to her? That's as badass as it gets.
It's a Kandar demon.
You know? It was like remember,
from the ancient Sumerians.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, it's like if you get stabbed with a knife and you pull it out and you lick the blood off of it and put it back in. You know,
she did that too to Ash. She's like,
oh, later on, yeah, when it's Linda's turn.
But doesn't what Scotty?
Scotty gets hold of it and he does something kind of weird. He stands up and he takes it around her and stabs her from the back.
Yeah.
When you could possibly push it all the way through and stab yourself.
Yeah, because it's like 18 inches long at least.
But the good thing about it is once it's in her, you know, she's got a nub over here and she can't pull it out of her back over there.
She chewed it off.
And that pretty much, you know, gets her, you know, out of commission. But...
You think, but...
One thing that they learned from the tape...
The real, yeah.
Is that the only way to really destroy these guys is dismemberment.
Dismemberment. So you need... They're going to need to chop up that body into pieces. And this is where we find out that really, at this point, Ash is too creeped out to even do that.
Yeah, he's not the hero right away.
Even though this thing is dead and could kill them and whatever's going on, he didn't want to do it. So he gave it to Scotty to do.
Hey, you know, it's your girlfriend. You do it.
Scotty.
And even when the body's laying there, it's spitting out all kinds of milky white crap.
Yeah, it's like milk.
Disgusting.
I think they had a gallon of milk sitting on.
Probably. See, that would gross me out because I don't drink milk. I hate milk.
Oh, and they're spitting
out. If I had
to
put that crap in my mouth,
Yeah, you know, I can't have milk because I'm lactose intolerant.
I listened to an Art Bell show something, or I don't know if it was Art Bell, but it was a Coast to Coast show.
No, I know. About milk stuff.
I didn't drink it.
We'll just say pus. But anyways, now what happens next is, Scotty just...
Mucus.
Scotty just...
Yeah, he takes that axe and goes to town. They chop her up into itty-bitty pieces, my
friend. And you
friend.
See, and it's still all moving and stuff.
Yeah,
and
each like, little piece is moving. You know, moving and stuff. And none of them think, hey, if we get out of this alive, no one's going to question where these people are. They're not going to blame us for their deaths. They're just going to believe the story that these demons did it.
I get. Well, you know what? At this point,
what's gotta really going... You got to do what you
got to do. Yeah, what's going on?
Because you and me would still... Oh. You got to get rid of these bodies.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is still squirming around, but it's not
going to... Cheryl's still hitting that thing up, trying to... Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, so, and it's nice that they, you know, have the cross. They make the cross and put that in there. And,
oh, my God.
And, you know, right when they do that, just like in Evil Dead 2, lightning... flashes a little bit, and I see that
they bury her.
They bury her. I even see in the new show they're going to riff on that a little bit. He puts the cross, he puts the cross in, and the girl that's with him says she's Jewish. Yeah. I was like, you know, you could have told me that before I put the cross in there.
I think it's going to be
so. They're still
going to
riff on that even in the new series,
Of course. But yeah, they do. They bury her, and then they go back in the cabin. Of course, they're.
This is where Scotty wants to just get out of here.
Yeah, this is where he's like, "I'm done. I'm getting out."
He's like, "I don't even care about you. I don't care about.
I don't care about your girlfriend. You know, I'm just getting out of here."
Right, because Ash is trying to explain to her. You know, her foot is hurt too bad. She can't get out there. You're going to be wandering around in the dark. You know, maybe there's a footpath or a trail or something like that, but you're not going to find it in the dark. And she can't make that kind of a trip. And he's just like, "I don't care about her."
And he leaves. He takes off.
No supplies, whatever. You know, I think he takes the only flashlight.
Yeah.
And that's a jerk, you know. But at the same time, you know, when something bad like this happens, self-preservation mode kicks in for most of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, not for Ash, though. So here's the little heroic moment of his. And even still, you know, you still see... They even get a little scene of Cheryl down in the cellar just looking up.
Yeah,
just,
because she closes it and she's just, right. Her voice is just so, so terrible.
I know. And, you know, it doesn't even last that long.
Yeah,
he's not gone long. I mean,
no, because this is where all the chaos just erupts. It's just nonstop from this point forward with
Ash. He goes to check Linda. Because she's laying in bed. And I like he lifts up the blanket. And sees the little wound on her foot.
And that's when it spreads like a spider web.
Yeah, just like spider webby. Cool little stop motion effect.
Yeah.
Spreads throughout her leg, and she just sits right up and has those white eyes.
Yeah.
Which I'm told were really, back then, they didn't really have like contacts like we have now that I'm wearing.
Right.
They said they were like thick as glass.
Yeah.
And they could only keep them in for like 15 minutes at a time. They were really painful.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, even like back in older movies, you know, like Ed Wood movies and all those, you know, that's what they had to wear. And evidently they're just really uncomfortable. I can't imagine.
Oh, I'm sure, man, because it's big white eyes, man. Right.
But see, Linda doesn't seem so intent on, you know, killing Ash or whatever. She just likes to sit there and tease and taunt.
Yeah, she's teasing and taunting.
She's got like kind of like that Sherry Moon kind of laugh.
Yeah, she's sitting cross-legged in the doorway, just watching him.
Right.
Because Scotty comes stumbling in. He's got a bone sticking out of his leg, his arm, his
face, a hunk of tree or whatever it is.
Something. He's just, you know, dying, basically.
Ash, help me, the trees, they won't let us leave.
Yeah. But he's not turned or nothing at this point. He's just sitting there.
Well, he's been attacked by him, so he will. He will.
Right.
Because he's been attacked by Shelley, and so it's coming. But.
So you got Cheryl in the cellar going crazy, digging at the...
you're not going to leave me, are you, Ash?
And he's got a cool scene with blood coming out of his mouth.
And Scotty's on the couch dying, you know, and Linda's in the doorway with her teeth cut going, ah, you know, and doesn't he just go up and he just starts
shut up!
Beating the heck out of her.
And who hasn't wanted to do that to the lady at least once? And
he's backhanding her. Yeah, and it's not phasing her, of course.
No, she's just laughing at him. I mean, I could have watched that scene for like 20 minutes, but it's just backing it up, watch it again. And he gets the shotgun, like he's gonna put some buckshot in her head.
He's gonna blow her head off.
I'm gonna fill your head full of rock salt. And then he doesn't even have the heart to do it. Even with that annoying laugh and that big mouth and all that taunting, he doesn't have the heart to do it.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, man.
You're like, here, give me that rifle, son.
It changes pretty fast, but he still can't at this point do anything to... And isn't this where...
she changes back.
Yeah, she changes back to like act like she's better now.
Again. Right. It's all an act. And then Cheryl does the same thing.
We didn't get to the book and fire.
That's the end, dude.
Okay.
So
sorry, I'm getting out of order here a little bit. But anyways, so, yeah,
they kind of revert back, you know, just to fool him enough to suck him in.
Because Cheryl down in the cellar too starts talking to him in a normal voice.
Let me out.
Yeah.
And so of course, he gets the keys and he thinks, you know, I don't know.
Back then,
they didn't have enough movies to teach them not to do these things.
Exactly.
You know, that was one of the good things about the first Scream movie, you know. And we've got all these movies that teach you how to survive.
Yeah.
You know, what not to do. So he opens up the cellar and, you know, he's gonna kind of try to let her out a little bit. But it don't last long. They revert right back.
Yes.
And you know. He's gonna drag her out of the house.
Yeah,
this is his girlfriend Linda, and he's just gonna take her ass to the tool shed. And he's gonna cut her up. And this poor actress, you know, he drags her down these stone steps and through the leaves. Well, actually, he doesn't even do that at first. He just kind of like just throws her outside.
Yeah,
like just get her out of the house.
Yeah,
and it's actually a little bit of an eerie scene because she's laying in a pile of leaves where it's grass, and she just kind of arches.
Yeah, her contorted body,
a little contortion for
face. The light hitting the white eyes.
Yeah, just the way that looks for a moment is real eerie.
Yes.
And he goes back in, and Scotty ain't long.
No. He comes right to Scotty, and Scotty basically, that's it. He takes his last breath.
Right, because the cellar's still locked, because when he was going to let her through, you know, she reverts back, and, you know, like her hands jumped through the wood and tried to grab him, and, you know, he didn't let her out.
Right. I do love the scene, though, when he does go to Scotty.
Mm-hmm. Trying to give him some water.
Yeah, he's pouring water down his mouth.
Down his throat. He's dead.
He's dead. It's just, it's all going down his neck. And it's like,
I know. He's shocked.
Well, and shocked.
He's going a little psychotic now
and stuff. I mean, it's starting to hit.
Well, you think, you know, I'm by myself now.
Right.
You know, I'm all alone with this.
Yes.
And, you know, that's, you know, yeah, you'd like to get out of here, wouldn't you, Scotty? Wouldn't you? Scotty, he's dead. Linda ends up, like, grabbing Ash through, it's through the door, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it through the door? Like,
comes
through. Kind of like that one cool scene where the hands come through the door and grab hold of him.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
he starts fighting all three of them kind of off, because doesn't Cheryl get out from the cellar, too?
Cheryl.
Or not yet.
I don't know if she didn't get out yet, but he's fighting with Linda, and
and pulling Scotty.
She ends up getting impaled on the knife. The skull.
Right, right.
Cheryl's still in the cellar, just like watching the whole thing. It's so eerie.
Yeah.
Because like you'll be dragging the body by and you're like, she's just watching.
Her little head out of that four-inch space.
This is, gets to like one of the classic moments where he takes, this is where he's going to drag her to the tool shed. I misspoke before.
Yeah.
And he chains her up to the table and she's all latched in. You got those cool sounds as he's latched in.
Ugh.
Pulls back the tarp and there's the chainsaw.
Yeah.
Starts up on the first little try and he's about to do it. But, you know, again, he just...
I can't do it.
Come on, just because she looks normal again, you know, that's the thing, she looks normal.
Yeah.
He sees the little monocle and he's reminded about how much he loves her and kind of forgets the fact that this is the second time she's tried to kill him in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, and they're playing on that, I guess, you know, the demons, you know. He's got a little bit of sympathy still through all this kind of chaos and horror going on and... he tries to go and bury her.
Right, he's just going to bury her whole.
Yeah.
Not the smart thing to do.
No, I mean...
Because pretty much, as soon as he buries her, you know, hand pops out of the grave and grabs hold of him.
Yep, it doesn't last very long.
No,
because I like even when
he digs the grave in like 6 seconds. I mean,
I like how the eyes open. Oh, yeah.
You know, he digs a 6-foot grave in no time. It takes an hour to do that.
It took him not that long, yeah. And he,
you know, they keep saying daylight's coming in a few hours. When?
I like how she's over there, though, on the ground, head turned, and her eyes do open. I love when the eyes are always opening and then they close.
Right. And in the meantime, while that's going on inside the house, the cellar door is being banged. I mean, she's just banging.
This is where she
breaks out. And the nails are starting to pop out, and she's going to get loose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he buries Linda. And like we said, you know, once, you know, he puts the cross in there, he kind of falls to his knees. He's exhausted. Hand comes out, grabs hold of him. Really cool rising from the dead scene. And this is the part that gets me every time I watch this movie is the clawing. she starts clawing at his leg and just ripping flesh away. And I think out of all the gore scenes in the movie, that's the one that always gets me, like, oh, yeah. God.
Yeah, that's a pretty creepy
just
scene.
Rips right through, and he just picks up like a friggin' hunk of lumber, which would probably weigh 100 pounds.
And he's throwing it around like it's styrofoam, which it might
probably
be.
Probably was.
And he's banging the heck out of her head.
Yeah, just jabbing it in her head. Like, if this was a 3D movie, that'd have been a cool effect right there. Bam!
But it's
bam.
Not really phasing her.
No!
She's, like, kind of laughing.
Yeah, and that's just
flailing her
more. I mean, he's taking it, the thing's breaking, he's holding the pieces together, and
banging
and
the heck
wailing
out of
the
her,
heck
man.
Out of her. And, she's spitting out more of that
milk
stuff. Disgusting.
You know, milk was cheap back then, so they said, you know, we'll use that for some kind of fluid coming out of the body.
You know, like there's this, like she's gonna pounce on him. He's on the ground. She's got him, and he just reaches for the shovel and, phew!
Off with the head.
Off with the head. And you know, he's still kind of wrestling with the body. You know, kind of reminds me of like Medusa in Clash of the Titans when he cuts off her head and the blood kind of pours out.
And you see her head kind of
still it squirts all over him, though.
Yeah.
And her head's still over there laughing.
Oh, man. And runs back to the house.
And a little blooper here, too, because the light is shining on him. When he gets up to walk back in the house, his shirt's completely clean.
Yeah.
And then when he goes in the house, he's all covered in blood again. So, yeah, he gets in there.
Blooper.
Well, you notice it.
Goofs it.
Little things. Yeah. You know, it might have been a pickup shot or something like that. Who knows? But
he sees the cellar door flung open.
Yep. So Scotty's just laying on the floor.
Yeah.
But he knows, hey, Cheryl's loose.
So he goes.
The juice is loose.
And he picks up the rifle and goes looking for it.
Right, has to get the shells.
Yeah. He's got to go in the cellar yet and get those shells.
Back and get those shells, which he will do.
Yes.
Even when he gets in the cellar,
mm-hmm.
It's all gooey. Like there's a
blood everywhere.
Yeah.
Like it's dripping through the pipes.
Right, but
from the roof, kind
of. I guess Cheryl before he goes down. I guess Cheryl kind of pops up like he's by a window.
Okay,
and Cheryl kind of pops up and realizes she's outside. Mm-hmm. He's got to go get all these doors closed.
Yeah.
So, another pretty gory scene. He closes the door and the little fingers come through.
And he starts smashing it with his
butt
gun.
Of the gun.
Yeah.
And just, ugh. Cool.
Which just closes it. I don't know why the demon can't get it open. And then he runs to the back door.
Right.
And he closes that too. He doesn't need to lock
it. And that's where he remembers where the shells are down in the basement. I need more shells. He's got the gun, but he doesn't have no bullets.
But he just closes the door. Like, these things can't get through the windows, even though the branches can pop through. The doors aren't locked.
You know, there's like 3 busted windows in the place.
You know, but whatever. I mean, you know, it doesn't take away. But anyways, but he ends up going down the cellar. Yeah,
falls down the cellar.
He
steps
falls
more
down.
Than
yeah, his, with that bloody leg that he was clawed
right.
At,
and he's got clawed at.
Yeah,
which you know that's bad news for him.
Mm.
And he gets down there and there's like a pipe. Everything just starts leaking blood. Like there's a
outlets
pipe.
And it comes out
and just he gets
man.
covered. And I like, you know, it's coming through the light fixtures and the outlets. Everything just starts going crazy, like ghosts are running the show. The record player starts going, film projector flies on.
Yeah.
No movie, though.
Because Cheryl was down there. She set all this up.
You think? The spooks are just taking hold of the house, you know? The La Casa Es Loco. And
very much so, yes.
And there's even a couple of cool. It's like a roly-poly scene, like going around to come to Ash, you know, face first. And that's another cool little disorienting scene that they do. And I think there's one from up on the floor.
Yes.
This is the part of the movie where things start getting tilted. I don't know what you call that kind of style. But it's like they put the camera off center so that everything.
Yeah, Orson Welles did that too.
Yeah,
in his movies,
it gives that feeling of disorientation and otherworldliness, I guess. When you kind of dissect a movie and take it apart, you know, and look at it
close
that way.
Up
when I'm watching and I don't really notice it, it has the effect on me that it's supposed to have.
Yeah.
But when I watch it critically, like I do for these shows, then you know that's when I notice it more.
Right.
But the shutters are flying open and closed.
Close-ups of his face, you can tell he's just losing it.
Yeah,
he's pretty much lost.
He's had enough.
Oh yeah, yeah. Finally,
you know, he can't relax.
No, he's looking for a cup of coffee somewhere.
Yeah. the mirror scene comes up. He looks in the mirror and he goes to like just touch his reflection,
mm-hmm.
and it just like goes through water or like a portal or
kind of cool scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that scene.
And there's a little riff on that in Evil Dead 2, where you know there's another Ash in the mirror. You know, screwing with them. It's kind of Three Stooges-ish.
Yeah.
Which I know that they were fans of. I know Sam Raimi, he's a big Stooge fan, so why not?
I hate how they because they didn't have enough money to do what they technically wanted to do, they incorporate it into, probably like the sequels and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. When, hey, you made a perfectly good horror movie. It's great as it is, you know, like... But not to say that I enjoyed the second one too, and mm-hmm. But
anyway, it's a different movie. It's it's got the second one's got better effects, kind of the same story with some added elements to it. I don't know. This one's just more gut wrenching, I think,
More pure.
Yeah, pure. That's a good word for it. So he's loading up his shotgun, and then he says, "Nah, well, I'm gonna make it." I don't know. Please. He's Jesus, Buddha, and Allah, help me.
Back and against the wall. Just can't take it no more.
That's right. Man. That's right. And let's see. He's got a couple of shells. And is it Scotty that he's going to come? That's going to come after him first?
I think so. Yeah, Scotty comes first.
Right, because he hears a noise out there, you know, join us and all that crap. Barricades the door a little bit, and then Scotty comes up as a deadeye, and
picks him up off the ground,
and the eye scene is like that's another one of my favorites in this movie.
Well, that's a favorite way to get people in a lot of horror movies.
Yeah,
just put your thumbs into the eyes and just push.
But he goes knuckle deep. Knuckle deep in there. I mean,
I know. Very.
I mean, has anybody ever actually killed somebody doing that?
Oh, I'm
sure. I don't know anybody.
Well, I don't either. didn't John and Joe's cousin?
But I mean,
sister had something like that.
Oh, what a way! What a way to go! And I think you said it was a bone. I don't know if it was a bone or if it's a tree branch or something that's stuck into Scotty, but he pulls it out and just blood starts gushing out, and he's kind of out of commission for a minute.
Yeah.
Cheryl comes bursting into the house. He's trying to fight both of them.
Should have dismembered all these people.
I know.
When he had the chance.
Scotty, Ash is on the ground.
Yeah.
He notices the Necronomicon.
The book, yeah.
In
the Book of the Dead.
The real close to the edge of the fire, like just the corner of it is a little smoldering.
Yes.
Scotty, who's kind of laying on the ground, grabs Ash's leg and is trying to pull him towards him.
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl grabs a poker.
Yep.
Excuse me, from the fireplace.
It starts banging the heck out of his back.
Right, and that looks real. I don't know what that poker is made of. That looks darn real.
His lower back.
Yeah, he's getting brutalized.
And so he's going to have problems later on.
He'll probably have spasms or something.
Yeah, he's going to have to lay down.
Degenerative joint disease
or something. Wooden floor for about 2 days.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Acupuncture, the whole gamut.
He'll go, that rain's coming.
Mm-hmm. He'll know it two days in advance. Yeah.
And just because of this,
Right.
Kandar demon.
Yeah, yeah. They're good for nothing. he's trying to grab the book, can't reach it, but as they're dragging him, he finds the monocle. What would any sane man do? Take it and just try to lasso the book while they're pulling you and beating you. It takes like 18 tries, but he finally gets it. And he's just dragging it towards him. He gets hold of it and flings it into the fire.
And this is a kind of a cool scene where it's Cheryl, right?
Yeah.
She's got, it's not blood in her mouth. They use some weird stuff. It's blue, like blue gummy bear juice.
Yeah, maybe they chewed some gummy bears, just let it drool.
It's drooling blue and stuff.
This is
on
the
there.
Awesome stop motion animation scene of the disintegration of these two.
Right.
You know, the book is burning, and it's kind of like, we think maybe,
he
the
threw it in the fire.
Broken, exactly.
Because the monocle, he finally did get it,
right.
Pulled it. Threw it into the fire and they all start,
disintegrating. Yeah, and it's really cool. It lasts. Even they show the book burning, like the face.
The tongue
contorting. Oh, yeah, the tongue.
Very cool scene.
It's all, you know, done with, like, you know, Play-Doh or whatever, you know. but it's cool. You know, it takes time to do that. You know, stop motion ain't no joke. And that's why, you know, fans of, like,
Harry Potter. Joke. So, there's nothing
funny about it at all. Yeah,
what the heck is going on, man?
But no, I mean, it takes time.
I don't appreciate anybody who puts down stop motion.
Yeah, and you got something to say about it, come to me.
Yeah, I mean, you put it to... Okay, whatever. Well,
yeah. It takes time, and, you know, that's why fans...
and patience for stop motion animation. Okay, anyways.
It takes time to...
We gotta just become hippies one day and just out of the clear
blue. Is that Freedom Rock, man?
Yeah, man.
We'll turn it up, man.
Stop motion? Who's putting down stop motion, man? Anyways, yeah.
You're no friend of mine. That's it. But yeah, the bodies are all breaking down, turning into mush, and then these big demon hands start busting out.
I don't know where they came from, but yeah, they're popping out of the bodies and stuff, and...
It's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very.
And then the best part is, like, I think this is the Cheryl one. You know, she's all, like, you know, down to the bone, and it's a cool scene of watching her fall forward, her body falling forward. Mm-hmm. The head kind of busts open, and just all this red bloody jelly goes all over Bruce's face. And then Scotty's body—it's totally like turning.
I wonder if they put Pop all over the ground, Pop all on the ground and threw that fizz candy. Because it looks like a blue fizzing...
I don't know how they do that. And that's,
I want to try that for our horror movie we'll be making.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, we're making Evil Dead 4, man.
They already did. It was called Evil Dead Reboot.
We're going to make Evil Dead 5, man.
That's the TV series.
We're going to do Evil Dead. We won't do Evil Dead. No, we'll do something else.
We jump way ahead to 8.
Evil Dead
19. They fill in the blanks later, man. They catch up to us.
Oh, man.
We're going to do a whole show in those voices one time.
We should open the show.
We'll pick, like, a Mexican horror movie. Man. Like, you know, Santos versus
whatever. We're going to do it. Yeah, welcome to New Monsters.
Like, From Dusk Till Dawn or something like that.
Yeah. Very and, good show for you today.
And then the cucarachas are calling out to Scotty's body.
What do you mean to do this show? Oh, we do this show on Camel next week. No? We walk all the way from here to there.
We're going to lose all our Middle Eastern fans.
Okay, no. It's all in fun. It's all in fun, people. Anyways, he finally gets the, you know, I mean, it's all done, and
the
dawn.
Bodies disintegrate.
Dawn.
The comes. Dawn is starting to, the night is breaking.
And the end of the movie is coming up, which is very, very cool.
Right, and I think it's cool to leave the movie how this movie ends.
Yes.
You know, there are no sequels at the end of this movie.
No. He walks out the front door, sees the sun, covered in blood. He made it, you know, he thinks everything's good. You know,
but from behind the house,
that camera goes a rolling.
Right, that angry force is still there, and it's gonna.
Back door flings open, camera goes rushing through you get all that noise. The front door opens up, and straight into him, and there it ends the movie.
Now in Evil Dead 2, that happens, and then he ends up coming back, fighting it off, and coming back.
But this ending is perfect.
I mean, you leave it right there.
Yes.
Now, it got insanely popular. It's a great franchise, and people love it. But I love to just leave it right there, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
the others get kind of funny and silly, but this one's just true horror.
But I mean, it never takes... I understand what you say when you leave movies alone.
And I don't dislike
those movies. But you can always take those movies that you don't like and just push them aside.
That's what I do in this case. I push them aside.
It never takes away from this movie
because it's
perfect. I mean...
No, and I don't have a problem with it. Some people have a problem with that. You know, like the Star Wars prequels ruin Star Wars and I just don't watch those.
Exactly. the three Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. Great movies.
And, you know,
you don't have to clump the other ones in with it.
I don't care how good the new ones are. I probably will just, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. And
anyways. So that's... I love this movie, man.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It was on your list, right?
Yes. Because... get you in the mindset of Halloween. Even though we're some months away from Halloween.
Right.
We do got to do Halloween, and we'll save it towards Halloween time.
Maybe we'll do one of the sequels. Let's just do a random sequel. Let's just do, like, Halloween Resurrection.
Let's do the worst one so that we can we can razz on it.
Yeah. You know, the one with Busta Rhymes in it, I think. But I think it has Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica in it. It's all right, yeah, too. Man. So. But this, yeah, this is you know, filmmaking, do what it yourself this, 101. Man?
This is, yeah.
You know, it's
filmmaking 101.
You want to know how to do this? Read Bruce Campbell's book. And well, this is it how tells it, you how they did it, and here's how they did it.
Other people have done it. Blair mm-hmm. Witch Project.
Yeah.
Paranormal, yeah. Even if you don't like them, Paranormal Activity, mm-hmm. you know, all on a super low budget, and they came up with their own idea, didn't cost that much money.
Right.
And I remember when Blair Witch Project came out, I thought that was awesome.
Well, they did the media blitz to kind of, you know, before it came out, to make you seem like it was real. There was like the fake
right.
internet stories and things like that.
But so I like how it was set and yeah. how they did it and played it and how mm-hmm. they were calling out, and I mean the whole movie was great too, you know.
Yeah, we used to make fun of that movie.
Like, oh yeah, you
know,
yeah.
Like what if it had different types of people in it, you know?
Oh my god,
like, you know,
yeah.
ghetto white boys or something like that.
Oh my
god. But
gosh.
You know, this was a labor of love.
Yep.
You know, they did what they had to do to make it. They made ends meet where they could.
Yep.
And they used creativity where they didn't have enough to, you know, to show you something bigger and better, maybe, that right. you got to see in the other movies. And it's there. If you want to do it, I mean, I don't necessarily have the drive or the desire.
Right.
I like to just watch movies. I like to be entertained.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the fact that people had the idea, went and did it, and they built a career off of it. And a career that millions of people follow and love. And
getting rebooted on Stars, Ash vs.
There you go. Yeah, you know, coming full circle to it again.
Unreal.
You know what I mean? Let's face it. I don't think Bruce Campbell's going to act forever, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how old. I don't even know how old the man is. Still looks all right for however old he is.
And he's done plenty of other than right. this after Evil Dead, so, I mean.
I would probably say, you know, a lot of those guys are getting more towards the, you know, later parts of their career, and yeah. it's kind of cool that it all comes kind of full circle with this, with the remake and this. And what did you think of the remake, since we're talking about that? Did you see the Evil Dead reboot remake?
I still haven't seen
it. He hasn't seen it. I saw it in the theater. I will say
it. You said you liked it?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. And okay. it certainly had the seal of approval from the original filmmakers.
Okay.
And they worked
hand-in-hand. I know. Evil Dead is one of my favorites of all time.
But you haven't gotten around to
but
see
I haven't
it.
Gotten to Well, you know.
It actually,
just like you. Sometimes you just mm-hmm. put off by even attempting
yeah.
to watch it.
It's very... The gore factor is up there. There's some cool scenes. There's some plenty
of shout-outs imagine.
To the original. And it wasn't horrible. And Bruce Campbell makes a little cameo at the end of the credits. You got to watch through the credits.
Okay.
He's even there. But for what it is, it would be interesting. I think the idea was to make another one and then kind of have Bruce, you know, be in that one and kind of join those two universes together.
Yeah.
If that's still the plan, they can make that work. And maybe they'll find a way of doing it with the television show.
Could
I don't
be.
Know. If, you know, maybe any of the characters from that show will up here, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
we'll see how it goes.
Right. It would be interesting, and it would be in the style of the movie, and it would give yep. credence to the new remake, and, you know, because it'd be just as easy for some other kids to have found that cabin and, you know, and whatever, you know, after the portal closes in Evil Dead 2, and,
yeah.
you know, spoiler
if you cool. haven't seen
it. But a great
okay,
horror
man.
Movie. I'm glad, you know, we touched on it, and it's relevant because the new series is going to be starting, I think, next month, maybe.
Right.
Something like that.
Right.
So. You know, it's time that we address this movie. So
exactly.
get you guys ready
Glad
for the
we
show.
Got it in, yeah. So yeah. With that said, man.
Right. Next week we'll be doing Mean Girls with Lindsay Lohan.
This is up there as one of the scariest movies of all
right.
time.
Babe, and, Pig in the City the week after that.
Yeah. Oh man. Anyways, it was fun. I'm glad everybody's loving it.
Yeah.
So the podcast is doing great, man.
Yeah, we're the number one horror movie podcast. Because of you.
I'm not sure I'll go that far.
Make it happen. See, if we say it, they'll know. They'll think, hey, I gotta listen to this one because it's the number one.
Well,
I mean, we're the number one.
We should be because
yeah,
we're entertaining
in our minds, we're number one.
I think
anybody
so.
Anybody else got a cool little action figures back here and a clown?
Yeah, and these little figures up
whatever
here.
Whatever the hell this is.
Guy. Oh my god. You know what? We're doing this kind of late tonight.
Yeah,
so
it's like.
We're kind of getting punch drunk here.
Been up all day.
And Ted just did his face again. Okay, I'm going to end this
Stretch
laughing. I'm going to end this one laughing because I can't calm
right.
myself down.
All right.
But, anyways, yeah, like us on Facebook and everything else.
Like us on all those sites.
Later.